This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Welcome to church. Let's turn our Bibles, if you have your Bibles there, to Ephesians chapter 5, please. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15 and through to verse 20, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, Bruce brought a very encouraging and inspiring word about great expectations. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to have a listen to that on our website. It was a word that encouraged us. It stirred our faith. It stirred my faith. It encouraged me. So I'm hoping that that's an accurate statement this morning. It encouraged me and it stirred me in my faith and to believe and ask God for great things in 2020. And moving forward. Great things for us as individuals and great things for us as a body here at MCF. Because we are the church, each one of us individually. It's not just an entity. We are the church. We are his body. And if we're asking him for our great expectations and he's answering those requests, then that's going to go well for our church, right? It's just going to happen. I believe that. Today is just the second Sunday of this new year, believe it or not. I know many of you are tired and lots of things have been happening, but this is only the second Sunday of 2020. And this is the perfect time of year, a perfect opportunity to look at the year ahead. To look at the year ahead and to decide what's going to be important to us this year. I know some of you, my daughter is right into, at the moment, goal planning and vision boards, and it's very good. There's nothing wrong with those things. You know, what's going to be important this year? It's good for us to stop and take stock. What's going to be important to you this year? What are your goals for this year? What are you hoping that when we get to this time next year, you can say, I saw God come through, or I achieved that goal in God? And carrying on and following on from last week, if you remember some of those things that were spoken out at the end of the service last year, some of those big things that we're going to be believing God for, our family saved, healing, words of knowledge, all the different things that came out. I think there was about maybe 15 to 20 that were spoken out, and I'm sure there were many more that you were thinking in your heart of things that you're expecting God to do for you and for us as a church in 2020. So this is the perfect week to take stock and think, well, if that's important to me this year, then how does my life have to change? What do I have to do to get in line with God? Because I want to just remind each one of us this morning that we are co-laborers with Christ. We're not just going to sit back in these pews on a Sunday morning and walk in and, you know, God is sovereign and he can do that sovereignly, but he chooses to work with us. He chooses to work with you. He chooses to work with me. So I'm asking God and expecting him for some big things this year because he's a big God. So how am I going to evaluate my year? What's going to be important? What's going to be important for us as a church in 2020? Where is our focus going to be? What things are we going to hold close? What things are we going to decide we can let go of? We won't fulfill all that God wants us to do if we don't manage our time well. This is going to be a very practical word this morning. And I just want to say, as usual, I'm preaching to myself and you're getting to hear it out loud. And if you get something out of it, that's awesome. I'm preaching to myself, but I know because I've had conversations with many of you that you will be in the same place. We live in a time where we have the most time-saving devices that have ever existed. Who walked to church this morning? Oh, Melinda. Give her a hand. There's always one. That's awesome. Good on you. I drove my car to church this morning and I didn't even have to change gears. It's an automatic car. We have so many time-saving devices. We have dishwashers. We have microwaves. We have drive-through car washers. I don't even have to wash my own car if I don't want to. I have an automatic washing machine, I have a dryer, I have a smartphone, I have a computer, I've got an automatic roller door at home now that I just push the button and the door goes up and I drive in and the door goes down. I've got a food processor. I asked Charlie's permission before I shared this morning. We are in the process of becoming, at our house, a smart home. A smart home. We have a new member of our family and her name is Alexa. Has anybody else got an Alexa or a Hey Google? I don't know. If you don't know what that is, ask your grandkids. So the new member of our family is Alexa. So I get up in the morning, good morning Alexa. And the kitchen light comes on and the lounge room light comes on. When I go to bed at night, good night, Alexa. She turns all those lights off and she turns my bedroom lights on because she knows I'm going to bed. Alexa, show me a recipe for spaghetti bolognese. And she starts reading me the recipe for spaghetti bolognese. And then she asks if I'd like that added to my shopping list that I could then automatically send off to the grocery store, who will do my shopping for me and deliver it to my house. I just haven't figured out who's going to cook it. Do you know there's robot vacuum cleaners? Right? You can order your groceries online. I said that Uber Eats, you just sit at home, order your food, they deliver it to you. Do you know what I saw? What I saw advertised this week? An automatic pan stirrer. So you just put it in your saucepan and it's got a little battery in the top and it just stirs your gravy or your sauce or whatever it is you've got cooking while you do something else. We live in a society and time where we have so many time-saving devices. In theory, we should all be able to relax, lay back in our recliner chairs that will massage us at the same time and take it easy. But somehow, that's not the case. Somehow, for living in a society that has all of these modern-day technologies and time-saving devices, we are also the most time-poor generation that's ever been. It seems to be now a status symbol. Not how much money you earn is not even the biggest status symbol at the moment. It's how busy you are. It's almost a competition of who's the busiest. Oh, what, you didn't sleep last night? I haven't slept for 3 nights because I've been so busy. What, you didn't eat breakfast today? I haven't eaten for a week because I just haven't had time. You know, it seems to be now our biggest accomplishment is how busy we are. Why is that? The truth is that we all have exactly the same amount of time. In any one day, we have 86,400 seconds, 1,444 minutes, and 24 hours in any one day. Now, I don't know how many days you have on this earth. God does. He's already recorded that in his book. But we're all on an equal playing field. We all have exactly the same amount of time in any one day. Today, I want you to consider, as I'm speaking, what have you been spending your time on? Think of it like money. You know, we budget our money. We budget our finances, or we should. But do we think about how we're spending our time? I think if we had something physical in our hands that we had to say, oh, that's going to take me 20 minutes. Do I have that in my purse? Can I afford to spend that 20 minutes? We'd probably think a little bit more about what we're spending our time on. But we don't often. Often we get to the day, it's 11:30 at night, and we're thinking, what are we still doing up? Watching this TV show or listening, watching something on Facebook or, cleaning the kitchen at 11:30 at night because you didn't have time to do it any other time. Or I don't know what you guys do, change the oil in the car or something like that. Time management is the process of organising and planning how to divide your time between specific activities. This is the definition of time management. Failing to manage your time damages your effectiveness and causes stress. It seems that there is never enough time in the day. Even the definition has that in its definition, that it seems like there's never enough time in the day. Think about that in our Christian walk. If we fail to manage the time effectively and wisely that God has given each one of us, if we fail to manage that correctly, we won't be effective and we won't see all the things happen that we want to happen in this year. I want to give a little demonstration this morning, so just bear with me while I get it ready, and hopefully this will help to it will just help you to see it. Now, some of you will have seen versions of this before, but let's see how we go. Okay. We're going to look at two examples. We are going to look at good time management or a good steward of the time that God has given you. Let's think about it that way because we're all stewards of what God's given us. So this is your life. This is 24 hours in your life. And I'll just get all my little props out here. Oh. Okay. Now, we're going to have a look at first at what happens in our life when we don't manage it well. Which this spoke to me very clearly. So in this jar, and you can see that for both examples, I have got exactly the same amount of things, so it's not rigged in any way. This jar of sand here represents all the trivial things in our life. You know, things that really, we really don't need to do at all. But sometimes it could even include leisure. It can include entertainment. You know, they're bonuses really. So this is all those little things that really, if you didn't do them, your life's not going to fall apart. All right, but what we often do is we do those things first. So this is all of those things. So think about what that might be. I will guarantee you right now, God's probably prompting you about something in your life that you can think, that's probably a sand option. So let's put all that in there. So we do all those, you know, trivial things that we do, whether it's, you know, thinking about, the new clothes we're going to buy or the concert we're going to go to or reading all the social media or watching every news channel that there is and seeing, you know, needing to know everything that's happening all the time in the world. So that's our sand. These next ones, these represent things that are important, but, you know, they're not the most important thing. But these are important things that we need to do. These can be like our job, school, you know, family relationships, mowing the grass, washing the car, you know, all the things that you sort of that take up our time in our life. And we need to do them. And they're of importance, but they're not the most important things. So, you know, we fill our day up with doing that and think, you know, we'll just get to some of those bigger important things later. The important things like spending time with God. Just a minute, God. Just let me finish this important thing first and then we'll spend some time together. Or, you know, I don't really have time to ring that person, God, who you know, that good thing, that good work that you've asked me to do, but I can squeeze it in now. So I'll give you some time to do that now. Reading your word, well, I can just about get a bit of that in, but praying, I think that's going to have to just wait till tomorrow. You know, and those rocks for you, you think of what's important to you. But the big rocks are our God rocks. They're the God rocks in our life. Our faith, our walk, reading the word, praying, worship, fellowship together. Yet often they're the things that get left out because we just can't fit them in. This is what happens when we put God first. Can you all see that over there? Is that okay? So exactly the same amount of things. And we think, no, I need to put God first. He is the priority in my life. I need to spend time with him every day. It's a matter of life and death. I need to pray. I love God. I want to talk to him. He is important to me. He's the most important thing. Being with my brothers and sisters, that's important to me. And then we still need to do, God knows that we still need to do things, right? We need to go to work. We need to take care of our family. We need to take care of the things he's given us. So he knows we need to do those things. So we do all of those. And as we all see when we go to the Word, we find out that we need to ask him what those things are as well. We need to ask God exactly what it is that he wants each one of us to do. Oh, I need that rock. Thank you, Shauna. We can't leave anything out. All right, we're looking pretty full, but God's in there and all the important things are in there. Now, we still need leisure time. You know, sometimes we need to go on a holiday. Sometimes we just need to lay back and rest. And God knows that. And so in go all the trivial things or the smaller things that don't matter so much. In they go. And there you go. It's all in. That really spoke to me. And I hope it speaks to you this morning. You know, you can build your life with sand, if you like. But the Bible's got something to say about that. And we'll have a look at that in a minute. But, you know, to be leaving rocks out, the important things in life, you've got the choice, each one of you, about how you're going to manage your time. So I'll just leave that sitting there. Okay. Paul tells us in the Bible verses that we read earlier in Ephesians that we need to be careful about how we walk or how we live, to make the most of every opportunity. The New King James Version of Ephesians 5:15 reads like this: "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The word circumspectly means to walk carefully, diligently, and to plan ahead. To redeem the time speaks actually about buying time. And you might say, well, how can I buy time? Here it means to rescue or recover our time from waste, to improve it for great and important purposes. So we can redeem the time. If we're walking circumspectly, if we're thinking and preparing and planning ahead, we walk carefully, we plan ahead, and we can then do this question and redeem time, because we're redeeming it from waste. Church, we're instructed not to act thoughtlessly, but to understand what the Lord wants us to do. Have you taken the time at the beginning of this year, especially when you're asking God these requests, to understand what it is that the Lord wants you to do? What's your part to play? We have a limited time to do what the Lord wants us to do while we're here on this earth. And we don't know what that is. So we need, as Paul said, to make the most of every opportunity that we do have. Every day that we do have is a precious day. He encourages us and instructs us to plan ahead. We have an enemy who loves to set little traps for us. Big traps we tend to shy away from, but it's all the little traps, isn't it, that catch us up. As born-again believers, new creations, we don't have time to spend on being sidelined. We don't have the time to waste being on the bench. We need to be in the game. We need to be where the action is. where God can use us and we can be useful for his kingdom. What are some of the things that the enemy uses to sideline us? He uses offense. He uses unforgiveness that we hold in our heart. He uses fear, anxiety, worry. All of these things take our time. It takes a lot of time to worry, sometimes all night. Oh, it'd be great if I could have my worry done in 5 minutes. But I don't know, it usually takes me all night to worry a thing right through. And even then, what has that got me? Tired. It takes time. We don't realize that, you know, if we took that moment when we had that opportunity, because we always have a choice, will I be offended by that or won't I? If we actually literally had to look into an account and say, oh, that's going to take me a good 3 months, that offense. Am I willing to spend 3 months of my time being offended? We laugh, you know, that seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Most of us hopefully would say, I'm not going to waste 3 months being offended, yet we do it. I'm not going to waste 30 years holding unforgiveness in my heart. Can you imagine if we literally had to look at our account and decide beforehand, let me think, will I think about this person for the next 30 years and hold unforgiveness in my heart? And yes, I think I'll do that. But we do. We need to plan ahead, Paul tells us. This is a very practical word, church. Plan ahead. How do we plan ahead? We do the rocks. We do the rocks. We pray. We praise. We read the word of God. We spend time in fellowship. We find out what it is he wants us to do. We can get busy doing lots of things that we think are God things, but Paul tells us, take the time to find out what he wants you to do, because that's the thing you need to be doing. Is prayer something that sort of for you might be this rock that, you know, it gets left out of your day? Because, you know, you've had a busy day, but you did, you know, when you got in trouble, you did let out a quick, help me God. And you should, when you're in trouble, ask God to help. But that shouldn't be the only time you pray. Or do you value your conversation with your Father? Do you exclude everything and everyone else and give him your full attention? Do you take time to sit and look in his face? I've said this before, God, one of his love languages, I believe, is quality time. Oh, I'll just readjust. How about the word of God? Is that something that's just squeezed in? Do you walk along in life and only look at the word when you find yourself lost or in trouble? Well, Paul tells us that that would be thoughtless, that would be foolish. Or is the word a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Is the word important to you? Is it valuable to you? What are you spending your time on? What about praise? Is praise in your life reserved for Sunday mornings when we're here together? That's an awesome time. But that shouldn't be the only time that we praise. There's many moments in our day where we get to praise God. Praise you, God, that my eyes opened this morning. Praise you, God, there's breath in my lungs. Praise you, God, for the sun that came up this morning. You can fill your days with sand, as I said before. That's your choice. You all this morning have a choice. You can fill your days with sand. But I want to just remind you what Jesus taught us about that. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. This is how it will work out for you. Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Paul reminds us of what Jesus taught in this letter to the Ephesians. Be careful, church, how you walk. Don't live like a fool who builds their days and years and their life on sand. But be wise. build your days and your years and your life on the bedrock of Jesus, on the bedrock of a relationship with Him. He is the Word. He is our life. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. Jesus also said in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, He will give you everything else you need. You seek the kingdom of God first and live righteously, and He will give you everything else you need. It is, as I said before, we think about that with our finances. You know, God, we're taught to give God first. And I don't know about you, I can speak from my own experience that often when I've thought, oh, I don't know if I can do it, I don't know if I can afford God to give you, you know, my tithe, the amount of money that you're asking me to give, I can guarantee when I do, when it happens, my money just seems to go further. I still don't know how Charlie and I lived for 2 years without him being able to work. That's a miracle. And it's the same. And actually what even happens is you usually find you've got more somehow. How did that happen? I thought first that I couldn't give you that, God, and now I did that and you've even given me more than I had before. And He will do that with your time. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Our Father knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. Church, we must be good stewards of all that God has given us, and that includes our time. I'm going to ask you that question again that I asked earlier. What have you been spending your time on? Even think about the last 24 hours. What have you been spending your time on? We have asked God, and He's heard and is already working on some of those big requests that we've made of Him. And it's up to us, church, about how much are we going to value that? And what are we willing to spend our time on? I am not willing anymore to allow any of these rocks to fall out of my life. And I hope that you would feel the same way this morning. I pray that God is speaking to your heart and showing you by this example that if you will seek Him first and acknowledge Him in all your ways and put His way first and seek Him and find out what it is, what are the things that He wants you to do, the good works that He wants you to do, the things, take time this week to evaluate your time and your time budget. And give it over to the Lord, and He will bless you, and He will allow you to be fruitful and productive and useful for His kingdom. And I hope and pray and I think and feel that that is what you all desire in this house. We want to be, I believe, a church that does this. What does God want us to do as a church? What are the little pebbles that He wants us to do? What are the ones that we don't need to do? And God will make a way for us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. We are a church, God. We are a people that value Your word. We value Your presence. We value Your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us today would take a fresh stock of truly what we have been spending our time on, that we would be honest with ourselves, that we would allow Your Holy Spirit access to every area of our life and to show us where we have, maybe we've been mismanaging our time, where we've been being reckless with what You've given us and what You've blessed us with. Our heart's desire, Lord, is to truly be a people and a church that are fruitful and productive for Your name and for Your kingdom. So, Lord, I pray that as You speak to people today, as You speak to hearts today, that there would be an encouragement in them to know that You are with them, Lord, and by Your Holy Spirit, not by their willpower or by their own strength, but by Your Holy Spirit, You will allow them and empower them and enable them to be good stewards of the time that You have blessed us with. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.